Okay. Now, okay, he's got... One of the first things he wanted me to talk about is that... Let's just look at Luke 9, 23, 24. Luke 9, 23, 24.
Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save
you. Hallelujah. Thank you. So, when we look at that, pick up your cross and follow me. It all sounds kind of nice, and we know that Jesus said it, but what does it mean? What does it actually mean to pick up your cross and follow him? Mm-hmm. And when we were praying about things, the other thing that he wanted me to... He's just telling me to talk like this, okay? I don't usually do a lot of notes. But what he's saying is, we talk about strongholds, but when we read that scripture in fact, Pastor, can you read that? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, please? Because it talks specifically about strongholds.
10,
chapter 10, verse 3 to 5.
Chapter
10. You can change the whole talk.
Like 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Okay, thank you. When he's talking about strongholds, he's not talking about principalities. He's talking about in our head. The stuff that's in our head that stops us from going up to somebody because we go, oh, no, they're not going to like us. Or the stuff that's in our head that says we're not good enough. Or the stuff that's in our head that where the devil has mangled you and you're thinking to where you can't even see what it means to be a Christian anymore. In fact, you wonder what the heck it is. That's what he's talking about, pulling that stuff down. And how do we do it? How are we going to do that? By, you know, memorizing scripture? Okay, yes, we need to know the word. We need to have him have that word abide in us. But by asking his Holy Spirit to help us to see clearly, to understand. We can't understand without him. Mm. We won't know what any of it means. It's just a bunch of gobbledygook without the Spirit of the living God, isn't it?
Yes.
He says we can't understand spiritual things without the Spirit. We can't understand God without his Spirit. So we need to listen to his Holy Spirit. But I'm not even sure where he's going with this, but there's something happening where, thank you, Lord, for reminding me. Okay. Do you know what the greatest way we're going to pull down strongholds in this place? The greatest way? What's the greatest power? What is the greatest power?
It's love.
Yes, it is love. And how do we demonstrate that? It says that the power of God is what? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. You start declaring Jesus Christ in this town, I'm telling you, Don't even worry about all this stuff up here. You know, the enemy wants you to get all folded up. Oh, worry about this principality and this one. What's his name? No. Talk about Jesus Christ. That's why we're Christians, isn't it? I mean, we wouldn't even have that name if we didn't have Jesus Christ. There'd be no point. We need to declare him in the corners, declare him in the cafes, declare him in the universities, declare him in our homes. Declare him down the street. Declare his name, Jesus Christ. That is the most powerful name there is ever. And if you want to ever demonstrate it and find out, and you're in a conflict, this happened to me in the middle of the street where people were kicking into a woman, okay, and she was bleeding on the street. This was in Western Australia. We were ministering on the streets. But we see that we're ready to go to the car, and I had my son with me that night because we had a team of people, but we were going back to our car. And I'm trying to hold him this way. He's trying to get me away from the situation, but I couldn't leave it. And I say, stop, stop. Do they stop? No. Some silly woman saying, stop, who cares? All of a sudden, I just went, stop in Jesus' name. They immediately stopped. They couldn't even see me. They didn't even know I was there. No one came after me. No one hit me. They stopped kicking her. They started walking backwards, still saying horrible things to her, but they weren't hurting her anymore. And what they were, what happened is even the girl and her friends who ran across the street to pick her up, I ran to her to pray for her. I didn't ask. Normally I would ask, and I just prayed for her. They're looking right through me. It was like angelic. I'm like, oh, this is what angels must be like. This is what they must be like. You can't be seen. You're not seen. You're protected by his name, by the power of his name. This is what we have. We don't have to. I am not talking about not doing ever spiritual warfare. There's times, you know, we see things come in our house and we see this stupid little demon. You're not going to just go, oh, well, it's okay. No, we go, get out in Jesus' name. We send you to the abyss. We bind you. Bye. It's over with. I don't want to take all my time on it. My life is about Jesus. And that's what the church has to do. Our life has to be about Jesus Christ. Or we've got nothing to give. We've got nowhere to go. It means nothing. And we're like all the other stupid religions. Nope, none of the other ones died. I don't remember anybody else dying for me or them that don't know him yet. And the other thing that we really need to get a hold of is that what it says, pick up your cross and follow me. Do you know, there is no Christianity without the cross.
Amen.
There's none. And what does the cross imply? He gave me this scripture, and I'll read it because I actually have it written down as the full scripture. And it's, you don't have to look. It's in 1 Peter 2:21. He says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to suffer for our Lord. But we don't want to. Most of the time, we want it convenient. We want it easy. We don't, you know, we love him. Yes, we love him. We love him privately in our little closet. Or we love him when it's convenient. But when can you love him when it's going to cost you something? And so many countries, and some of you have come from those countries, so many countries where people are today die for that. And in Western world, they don't. In the Western world, it's like, I got this Christianity thing, I wear my cross, I'm a good person. That's it. It's dead. I've talked to other African brothers and sisters, they say this is the hardest place for us to be in our faith. Because we're at a place where we're comfortable now. We're like you guys, Wazungu. We're like all the white people. That's not what he called you, and that's, I'm talking now to the Africans, that's not what he called you here for. I know he called some people to protect them, to get them out of terrible situations, but he called you to be a light here. Because this place is dead, by the way, if you hadn't noticed. Most of Australia is dead. It's like a rock, spiritually. It is a rock. It is hard. It's not just dusty. It is, I mean, this thing is like solid. And the only way we're going to make a difference, truly make a difference, is by declaring and sharing the truth of the gospel. Because showing me, it's not that because I'm so great at evangelizing, because I flub it up all the time. I go too far with somebody, or I say the wrong thing, or whatever. It's not about that. He says, it is the gospel of Christ, right? That is the power. It's the gospel that's the power. It's the gospel that's the power. It's the gospel that's the power. We want power from somewhere else. We want to have spiritual power. We want to be strong. We want to be mighty. We want to be good. Forget it! You're weak, I'm weak! It's the power of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ that he died for us, bled for us, took what we should have gotten and rose again. It's real simple. He wants us to get back to basic Christianity, which is the only reason anybody's a Christian. I did not come to Christ so I could run around acting like a big shot and show everybody up that look what I can do, or look at this person got healed, or look at how I kicked that demon. I didn't come to him for that. I didn't even know there was a hell, for crying out loud. You know why I came? Because he drew me.
Amen.
I couldn't say no anymore. All the other stupid things I'd done were like, stupid. And I realized it. They were going nowhere. They were dead ends. And then this God that I've been seeking under everything wrong, you know, and that's what those uni, some of those uni students, and the ones that are in the New Age, particularly, they are hungry. They're like, you know, I was looking here, and I'm like, okay, wasn't there? What about here? I was looking everywhere. In the meantime, he's like tapping me on the back. I'm busy. I'm looking for you. And that's what people are doing. They're looking for him, but they don't even know it. Okay, and we've got to remember that we've got the secret. That we're supposed to tell on the mountain, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
We're supposed to say it in the highways and the byways and know that they're going to go, oh, you stupid Christian. Yeah, they're going to say that. They will. That's okay. Because what did he say? He's our example and we're supposed to suffer and walk in his steps. If we're not suffering, we got to look at our Christianity. Truly, is it a Christianity, is it a religion thing in my hand, or is it the power of God unto salvation?
Amen.
Because isn't that what we want? We don't want these people dying. I don't. I know where they're going. That's why I go over the top. Because I'm like, just, you know, look, I'll just come into the net now and I'll explain it later. You know, I just want them saved. And that needs to be our heart. More than anything else. That's what he told everybody to go do. Go and preach the gospel, didn't he? That's what he said. He didn't say, make buildings for yourself.
That's right.
He didn't say, make sure you feel secure in your position. You know? He said, go and preach the gospel. And that's for everyone. Every believer. Because he calls me to a particular thing does not make me any better or any more valuable than anyone else. I don't care what your position is in the church. It matters nothing except your heart. That's what he cares about. That's what he's looking at. He's looking at your heart. What's your heart? What's your heart saying? What's inside your heart? No matter how good we look to people, it's what's inside our heart. And if our heart is set free, we can help to set others free. That's what we're meant to do on this earth. Set the captives free. And if we're not, well, we might as well throw the book out and walk away because it's pointless. Okay? It's pointless. He gave life, didn't he? Because we were dead before. And if we don't know how to share it, I mean, it is hard sometimes. If we don't know how to share it, then we have to say, you know, get on your knees and go, well, Holy Spirit, you know, I'm really bad at this, and I don't like when people snicker and, you know, say funny things about me. Tell him. My son today, I was so proud of him, and I'm not going, it's because he's my son. Each person has their own walk. Today, we go into a cafe, and there's this old couple that comes in, and I know he's interested in all kinds of war things, war history and whatever. And I thought, well, maybe he's a veteran, you want to talk to him. So my son keeps looking at him, but he won't say anything. I said, what is it? I said, do you want to talk to him about being a vet or something that he's from the war, one of the wars? And he goes, no, I want to ask him if he knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I said, okay, well, I'll pray for you to be bold. And he got really upset with that. And then he just talked to the guy. And he started talking to this old man. And he knows some German. This man was German and his wife were German. And he was telling him, he was praying for him because he had pain and he had a stick, a walking stick. And they were religious people. Okay, they'd been raised in Catholic Church, raised in the Lutheran, okay? And Aiden's talking to him, and he asked him, he said, can I pray for you? And we all closed our eyes, and my son is praying the most wonderful prayer. And the reason I know, he spends time with God. Personal time. In fact, he gets jealous if we're ministering somebody, he goes, Mom, I have to get home. It's my time with God. That's how he is. And I get told off I'm like, but we're helping somebody. He said, well, I have to go home and be with God. And his prayer was with that, because that's, and it's not me personally telling you how wonderful my son is. That's for all of us. When we spend time with God, we are different with people, because we've been in the presence of the living God, and he transforms us from glory to glory. And so, and that's how easy it, and he was scared. He told me, he said, Mom, the Holy Spirit's been telling me for 3 days to go and do it. But I wasn't bold, and I kept asking him, make me bold, make me bold. And the Holy Spirit said, you already have boldness, just go do it. Isn't that the Holy Ghost? That's how he is. He's very practical. You know, he's not going to play games with you. And then he did. And then once you do that, each time you do it, it's like a muscle. You know, we're kind of weak in evangelism. We're like, we've learned to be weak and, you know, just go by, oh, I hope they don't ask me what my religion is. You know, we just go away. But if the more we practice it, wherever you go, the bolder you get. Truly. I wasn't always like this. You know, it happened over time. And I saw the value of sharing him. I saw what it meant to other people. I saw their lives change. And I'm telling you, there is no better, if, you know, if you're ever down and you're sad and poor me and all that stuff, do you know what the cure is for self-pity or for self? You know what the cure is? Service. The cure is service. And the greatest stronghold we have in the church, you know what it is? Self. Church is selfish. Do you know when people in the body are sick or hurting, or you know, maybe they come out of a bad situation and violence or whatever, you can't even find part of the body to help them. They go to Centerlink, go to a woman's shelter, go get fixed up. You know, we don't really want to deal with that. That's messy stuff. That's how the church in general acts. I'm not talking about everybody here. I don't know people well enough to do that. But I see it. These people crumbling and hurting. And then we wonder why the people outside there don't want to be in our club. Well, why would you want to be? Some of the people over at Centerlink were nicer than the people in the church. That should be the way it is. So we've got to examine ourselves. We've got to look. Are we, you know, he says to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We can be in the faith, quote unquote, for 20 years and not be in the faith. It's a very, very, very crucial time right now where we have to actually see who we are. And we're going to know ourselves and anyone else by what? What do we know them by? The words that come out of the mouth? What did Jesus say? You will know them by their fruit. That's right. And ourselves, when we see our fruit is pretty stinky, well, we got to look at ourselves and we've got to ask him to clean that up. We've got to be willing. You know, this is not the woohoo, yeah, you know, one of these things. Oh yeah, we're all so great. Self-congratulation will get the church nowhere. And we have nothing to congratulate ourselves for, because anything we've received was from him anyway. Okay? If a great job has been done, hallelujah, all praise and glory to my King. That's how we have to look at it. That's what we must see. And if we humble ourselves, what does he say? What does he do? Does he give grace to the proud? No, he resists the proud. And he gives grace to the humble. Okay? And we don't have to pretend we're humble. We have to. The truth is, you know what? If you're not humble, this is the best prayer to pray. Lord, make me humble because I'm humbling. No, not sorry. I'm humbling myself before you humble me, because it hurts a lot worse when he does it. It's better. Okay, Lord, I'm messing up. I know it. Help me. That's it. You know, amen. Okay, I'm going to have my cup of coffee, and I know you'll fix it. Okay, rather than him doing it. Because if he does it, I'm telling you, he will slap you down. You do not want that. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we don't want to be terrified. We want to be embraced. And he wants to embrace us. He wants to embrace us. But he does expect us to do what he calls us to do. It's just when you're a parent and your child does something wrong, you don't go, oh, that's okay. Well, some parents do this, and that's why we have wild kids on the streets. They go, oh, it's okay. You probably had a bad day. and they, you know, smacked all these other kids in the class. No, you say, stop it. Go to your room. Have a think about it. A few minutes later, you hug them. You embrace them and say, I love you, and I love you enough to tell you off. It's the same with God. He's telling us off, okay? This is for all of us. You know, I mean, I don't ever know. He gives me notes and whatever, but I never know exactly. And it's because, you know, we think that, well, we've denied ourselves because now we're Christians. But, and he said this to me to tell you right now, is that denying self is more than just participating in certain activities or behaviors. It's more than that. It means you allow God to take over all of your life. That's what denying self means. All of your life at all cost. That's what we're supposed to do. And then he had me look up the word love. You know, we all know agape is love in the Greek. But I'll tell you what it really actually means. Do you know what it means? We always say, oh, it means divine love. No, you know what it really means? It means what God prefers. That's what love means. What God prefers. So if we're going to love God and love others, we have to do what God prefers. Which is much more than what we may have thought of. We might think it's about being nice to people and bringing them soup. And sometimes that is what God prefers. Go bring them soup. But what God prefers in any situation, sometimes what God prefers is you put yourself on the line. And you speak to somebody that you know is maybe not going to have a negative, but he told you to go talk to him anyway. Do you know that sometimes when you talk to somebody, the most negative people, the ones that have the worst attitude, are the ones that get saved and are such dynamos. Okay? We don't know. We can't judge that. We have no idea. Before I was a Christian, I hated Christians and I was scared, as I told you the other week. But the important part was when I found out Christ was real, I went for it. So those people that, you know, they look like the worst sinners, and you're like, there's no hope. But let's look at ourselves. If there's hope for us, there's hope for them. And if we really want to change Hobart, let's get off our bums and start preaching the true word of God and tell them about the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. That's what we're here for. Otherwise, it would take us up now. Okay? So, amen. It's going to be on my time.